From Ascension Lutheran Church in Citrus Heights, California, this is the sermon for Sunday, March 20th, 2022, the third Sunday in Lent. The preacher is Pastor Scott Jones.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to John, chapter 18. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First, they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Again, Peter denied it. And at that moment, the cock crowed. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. The famous philosopher Popeye said, "I am what I am." For the first time in the first episode of the Popeye series that aired in 1933. I don't remember it, but that's what the internet told me. The term "I am" or "I am" introduces an important and revealing statement of self-revelation. So whether I say I am a Christian, I am a Lutheran, I am a husband, father, son, brother, uncle, or if I say I am hungry, I am sad, I am concerned, I am excited, I have revealed something about myself. I am statements can be quite instructive and powerful, as we have seen in our reading of John's Gospel this winter. There are 7 I am statements that are attributed to Jesus in John's Gospel, and I know I've mentioned that before. And we have read some of those I am statements and skipped over others on our journey through the Gospel. We read the first I am statement in chapter 6 after Jesus had fed the crowd at the seashore with those 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they crossed to the other side, and he told his disciples, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We read that one. We didn't read in chapter 8 the second I am statement, when prior to Jesus' healing of the man born blind, he said to the Pharisees, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." As a part of the Good Shepherd discourse in chapter 10, Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters me will be saved. Which he followed 2 verses later by saying, I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In the story of the raising of Lazarus in chapter 11, Jesus declares what I suggested might actually be the heart and soul of, pardon me, of the gospel and Jesus' ministry when Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. If you're counting, there's 2 more. Even if you're not counting, there's 2 more. In John 14, after Jesus had washed the feet of the disciples and prior to his arrest in the garden, he said to the disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to me except through the Father. And in chapter 15, still prior to his arrest, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. These 7 I am statements of Jesus reveal much about who he is, what he came to accomplish, and what it means to follow him. And throughout Lent, we have been reading through the second half of John's gospel, where his ministry shifts from a very public ministry to now a ministry to his disciples. And through these teachings, Jesus is trying to prepare the disciples for what lies ahead for him and for them as he prepares to be arrested, put on trial, crucified, resurrected, and ascended. Last week, we read about Jesus eating with the disciples on the night when he was betrayed and arrested. And while they were sitting at the table, Jesus stood up, he took off his robe, he tied that towel around his waist, and he washed the disciples' feet. And after he washed their feet, including Judas, who would soon betray him in the garden where Jesus is at the beginning of our reading, Jesus and the disciples went across the Kidron Valley to the place where that garden was, to the place where our reading begins. And when they were in the garden, Jesus was met by Roman soldiers and Jewish police. And he was betrayed by Judas, who pointed him out. And when the soldiers and the police when Jesus asked them who they were looking for, they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he replied, I am he. Another I am statement, ego a me, but not counted in the 7 I ams. A second time, Jesus asked them who they were looking for. They said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he, ego a me. Then Peter took a sword, and he struck the high priest's slave, and he cut off his right ear. Jesus told Peter to put his sword back into his sheath and said, Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? And then our reading begins with Jesus' arrest and the interrogation in the courtyard of Annas and the high priest. Now, John makes mention of an earlier appearance of Caiaphas, which is more consistent with the other gospel accounts of Jesus' arrest and trial. In John's gospel here, we don't see Caiaphas questioning Jesus. It's actually Annas who questions Jesus, but Annas is the former high priest from whom the other high priests have come. So he's sort of like the high priest emeritus hanging out on the courtyard. But if you'll note in our reading, Annas doesn't speak. He is just, we're told what he said, but we are not without quotes. The quotes come from the things that both Jesus and Peter says. The things that Jesus and Peter says, which allows us to focus upon their words and to compare and contrast what each have said. When Jesus is questioned about his identity, both in the garden and in the courtyard, he is very clear and truthful about who he is. Though not considered as being among the 7 I am statements, as I said, Jesus twice says, ego a me, I am he, when he responds to the Roman soldiers. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't try to deceive those who have come to arrest him. He clearly and confidently articulates his identity. Peter, on the other hand, does not. While Jesus is being interrogated by Annas, the former high priest, a person of great, in a position of great power and authority, Peter is being questioned by a servant woman who has no power or authority of her own. Apparently, she was intimidating, though, because Peter is not honest with her. He's not confident in his responses. As Jesus is saying, "I am he," Peter is saying, "I am not. I am not." And the differences between how the two respond to their interrogation doesn't end there. Peter inflicts violence upon the priest's slave in the garden, while Jesus has violence inflicted upon himself in the courtyard. Jesus requested that they call others to testify to who he is. "Don't ask me, ask these other people what I have said. They can tell you what I've said and who I am. Bring in the multitudes." He wanted people to know, but Peter quietly denied who he was and denied his relationship with Jesus. Peter's third and final denial is in his response to one of the slaves of the high priest, who happens to be a relative of the man whose ear he had cut off in the garden. In John, we don't have Jesus putting the ear back on. We do in the other Gospels. In John, it's gone. Anyway, so this relative of the man whose ear he has cut off asks him, "Did I not see you in the garden?" Now to him, he denied having been in the garden, and then the rooster crowed. And it's easy for us to condemn Peter for his denial of Jesus. I mean, his behavior looks cowardly to those of us who weren't there. But maybe he had reason to fear. The other disciple is in the courtyard. The other disciple knows the high priest. The high priest knows the other disciple is a disciple of Jesus. But maybe Peter had reason to fear. Now, we don't know if Peter still had his sword with him in the courtyard, but we do know that he was outnumbered and that he had just committed a violent act against one of their fellow soldiers who happened to be related to the person who's asking him the question. We recently watched the Academy Award-nominated remake of West Side Story. Spoiler alert. Basically, the entire plot of that movie or musical was about retribution. You did something to a member of my gang or my family, you know what? We're going to do something to somebody you care about. And that plot, perhaps, could have been a play here for Peter. He knew that he inflicted harm upon this soldier, and now he's being questioned by a relative of that same soldier. Peter's in a tight spot. So he chose what appeared to be the easier path, the safer path, and he told just a little white lie. Only three times. And it preserved his health and his freedom, but it cost him his pride. Peter would have been full of regret and guilt during the days that Jesus lay in the tomb, but this story, as we know, doesn't end in the garden or the high priest's courtyard or on the cross or even at the tomb. We know that this story ends with Jesus being resurrected. And in John's gospel, the story ends with Jesus appearing to the disciples three times that are recorded. He appears to them twice in the upper room, and then he appears to them on the seashore, where the disciples are fishing and not catching any fish, a familiar setting. And Jesus says, "Throw your nets down on the other side." And when they do, they get so many fish they can barely get the net back into the boat. And when they came to the shore, they had recognized Jesus from the distance. When they came to the shore, Jesus is there around a charcoal fire. That's odd. Wasn't Peter around a charcoal fire in the courtyard? And there Jesus is, warming himself around a charcoal fire. And they eat together, and while they're there on the seashore, Jesus asks Peter three times around that fire, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Three times Peter had said, I am not, I am not, I am not. Three times Jesus asks, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times Peter said he does. I do, Lord. You know that I do. I do, Lord. And Jesus asked him to feed his sheep. Then in the book of Acts, after the ascension of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, it was Peter who had denied Jesus three times. It was Peter who preached that day, and some 3,000 people were baptized. And the Christian church was born. Peter, who had denied Jesus three times in the courtyard, was recorded as having a conversation with Jesus post-resurrection. And in that conversation, Peter was asked to affirm his discipleship, affirm his love of Jesus. In the courtyard, he had folded in the face of adversity. He couldn't stand up to the potential scrutiny or the violence that would have come if he had said that he was or that I am. And yet Jesus never denied Peter. Even after Peter's denial, Jesus came to him after the resurrection, and he lovingly gave him the opportunity to resurrect his relationship with him, the opportunity to resurrect his identity as a disciple. Three times he had denied him. Three times Peter was able to affirm that he loved Jesus. What a gift of grace. What a gift of redemption. What a gift of love. What a gift of new life for Peter. My friends, Jesus offers us the same. So when you are asked, how do you respond? Are you not one of his disciples? Tell me you're not one of his disciples. You weren't the one who I saw there with Jesus, were you? I am, I am, I am. I am who I am, ego a me. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. I am his disciple. I love him, and I do my best to feed his sheep. Amen. Next Sunday, we turn in the story just to the next verse, verse 28 through 40, to the story of Jesus' encounter with Pilate as he gets turned over to Pilate.